She broke, she bent, but she never disappeared. She's healing out loud, even when it feels unclear.
You made it, and welcome to Her Way Through the Glow Up Diaries, where healing gets honest, growth gets messy, and every story starts with I'm healing. Today's episode is titled Learning to Be Your Own Safe Place. And the diary is open, and today's guest is bringing a new entry, their truth, their story, and something we can all grow from. They bring an energy that can't be matched. And this guest is someone who is special to me, someone who has been in my life for over 10 years. And while we may not have always been consistent with the communication, we always are there for each other when it matters. And who doesn't love a friend like that? Like, come on. So enough of me rambling. Let me pass it on over to them so they can introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Victoria. I'm 26 years old. I'm a Capricorn, a mom, a student, and I'm just a girl who, you know, is still navigating womanhood and motherhood and on my own healing journey.
Love that for you. Yes, that is awesome. First question we're going to jump into is, what did safety look like for you growing up, and how has that changed now that you're an adult, now that you're a mother? What's the difference?
Safety for me, it looked like just physical safety. Like, okay, I'm in a safe home, a safe environment. So when I was younger, that's what, if you ask me, do you feel safe? I would say yes. Like, I feel like I'm physically safe in my environment. It has changed because obviously when you become an adult, you kind of grasp different thing, like different idea of things and a deeper idea of things. So now safety is not just about physical safety, it's mm-hmm. also about like emotional safety, mm-hmm. financial safety and all of that. But I'm mm-hmm. just going to touch on emotional safety. You know, that's like being safe within yourself. Like, do exactly. you trust yourself? You know, exactly. do you trust every, like, the people around you? So that's how that has changed.
So do you feel like with being, I think that was a great way to sum that up. Because yes, as a kid, I feel safe. Like, you know, my mom keeps me safe. I, you know, no mm-hmm. harm is being done to me. But then as an adult, it is a little different to look at it, because it's like, okay, my mom's not here to keep me safe. So who's keeping me safe now? It has to be mm-hmm. me. And then as far as what you said, as far as emotional safety and financial safety, all those are things that you have to think about as an adult. But mm-hmm. how do you feel like safety look for you as being like a mother?
Being able to trust my instincts and knowing that regardless of the situation, I feel safe within the decisions that I make for me and my child, me and my family, myself. Exactly. Because you have to think about, like, in order for you to be a good mom, you have to be a good person. This is what I think. I know, you know, the world is different. Everybody has their own opinions, but that's what I think.
I think I can agree. I think that the mothers out there who agree as well. Like, for me, if I'm thinking about it, that's the hardest part for me, far as, like, just trusting that I'm doing what's best for my kid, you know, and just like I'm doing the safest option. I think that's the hardest part for me as a mother. And I don't know mm-hmm. why that's so hard, but it is. How do you know it's the right choice?
I don't think you ever really know. Like, I think it's just a feeling. I think it's the feeling that you get no matter what somebody else says or how somebody else may feel. At the end of the day, I'm the one that carried my child for 9 months, and I exactly. feel like this is the best decision for
exactly. That's a great way to put it. I love that. Mm-hmm. Like, was there a time you realized something fell off emotionally for you around certain people?
So it did always feel off as a kid. to me that, like, I kind of, like, because I wasn't raised by my parents. I was raised by my grandma. I guess I never really made a deal out of it, but, like, it always felt off as to why, like, in my household, like, we didn't give each other hugs. Like, that was, like, we weren't emotional, like, affectionate. Mm. I didn't think it was weird when I was a kid, but as an adult, I like, wow, I think that is kind of, you know, that's
so funny you said that, because I was just about to ask you that. Sometimes when you're a kid and you just doing your norm, like, that's all you've been shown, that's all you've been taught, that's all you've seen. And that moment, did it feel weird? Like, did it start feeling weird for you when you met other families and how they do things or whatever? Or did it always internally feel somewhat like, this is a little off?
So, me and you, we've been friends in high school. So, when I, like, started coming around you and your family, and I seen how you guys' dynamic were, like, you and your mom, y'all are, like, so close. Like, your mom is, like, your best friend. You know what I'm saying? So, obviously, like, the affection, the emotional connection is there. So, that's when I started to realize, okay, like, yeah, like, this is off. But then also, I can't really place blame on my grandma because she's not my mom. Like, she was my grandma. She's somebody else's mom. You know, she's my dad's mom. So, but that's when I started to question, like, you know, it was kind of off to me. Like, it's, like, why, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense, though. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens for a lot of people. Because like you said, when you're living in, that's your norm. Like, that's your life. That's all you know. Then when you meet other people and you see their dynamic, and then you start to be like, wait, hold up. We don't do that in my household. Like, you know, like, that's a little different. And sometimes it could be a positive thing or it could be a negative thing because all households are different. But I feel like we all have something internally that we know, that we feel like it should look like, far as family, your idea of family, or your idea of closeness. Because I always looked at you as a person who was just very touchy and, like, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, because there's nothing wrong with, because, you know, I love you. But, like, I always looked at you as a person that was just very emotional, very emotional feel. And that was different for me, because while me and my mom has a great relationship. For those who don't know, my mom, that's my girl. Shout out to her. Besides that, I never felt like we were, what you say, like, touchy. We just wasn't that. Like, yes, me and my mom are close, but we don't hug all the time. we don't do none of that. And so, like, meeing you and seeing that you know, you're that type of person, it was different. It wasn't like a negative different. It was just like, oh, okay, it's people out here that, you know, just are like that, and there's nothing wrong with it, though. It was just a different realization, for sure. It really was. Okay, so how did you start building that safety within yourself once you became an adult?
So I had to learn that, first of all, you gotta set boundaries for yourself. You know, once you do get to that level where you trust yourself and you trust that you, as an adult, as a person, you can make good decisions for yourself, you have to set boundaries, because people around you can try to project certain things and certain situations onto you. And when that happens, I just think you have to be able to identify it and know that, like, okay, thank you, but no thank you. You know, just set those boundaries. Like,
yes, saying no, but in a nice way. I feel like a lot of people look at saying no as something negative. And that's not the case all the time. I mean, sometimes you may do need to say a no, and it be like, that's just what it is, whether it's negative or not. Every time you say no is not a negative. Sometimes you need to say no for your peace and, you know, for your sanity. And I just feel like it's not looked at as, like, saying no. People don't say no enough, even when they know they don't want to, or even when they know that that's what they want to say, but they don't want to be looked at as a certain way.
Yeah, I think it's a people pleasing mentality, and I think being a people pleaser, I think that's a toxic trait. Just feel like you feel like you have to be a people pleaser around the people that you're around, and I don't know if that's the right people for you, because you should not have to compromise yourself and what you, like, really want out of life to appease somebody else.
You should not. for sure. When old habits, well, how do you stay on track to keep, you know, your boundaries, like you say, that you had to set? How do you make sure you stay and on course with that?
I stay mindful. Just make sure that I'm always keeping, like, I know, like, people say to, like, leave the past in the past.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, I can get it in a sense where, like, don't dwell on it. But yeah. Also remember that the old you is kind of what got you to where you are at. So be mindful of those old habits, like the bad old habits that yes. you used to have, and just be mindful of how it made you feel or what it made you do. Mm-hmm. And just remember, like, hey, like, this is where I am today, so that I don't indulge in whatever those bad habits were. I'm going to be mindful of that and, you know, not entertain it, you know.
I love that. I think those are, that's a great way to make mm-hmm. to make sure that you, you know, stay on track, because with being human, it's unrealistic to think that you're not going to sometimes falter and go back mm-hmm. to how you used to do things, or how you used to look at things, or how you even used to perceive things. But mm-hmm. if you stay mindful, like you said, and just, you know, staying on course, like, okay, that was the old me, but this is what it is now, and this is what is going to be going forward, you should be able to stay course. Mm-hmm. With that being said, how do you show up for yourself now?
I show up for myself by, I go to the gym. I keep up with my personal appearance. I take a break from social media if I need to. Like, I went a whole 2 years off of Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are things that I'll do to, you know, make sure that, what's the question again?
Wait, hold up. That threw me off. I thought you was off. You was flowing.
I know. Like...
oh, my but God. Said,
oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, the question was, what does it look like when you show up for yourself now?
Right, right. Okay, got it. Okay. Staying true to myself. Like, you know... I've always been a person who was grounded and not, like, not easily, like, impressed or impressionable. So just staying true to myself and my core values and knowing what I want out of life, which is I want to be the best version of myself. So it's, like, major, like, self-improvement, like, going to the gym, keeping up with your physical appearance.
Yes.
Eating good. You know, like, stuff like that.
And honestly, people going to the gym makes you feel so good. I don't think, for all the people who don't go to the gym or who feel like, oh, I can't go to the gym, try it at least one time and then see how that makes you feel afterwards. Because for me, because I'm also in the gym as well, and for me, when I go to the gym, even if I have a lot going on or my mental is just all over the place or whatever the case may be, when I go to the gym, after I finish my workout, you feel great. You mm-hmm. truly do. It's literally like a stress reliever, and I can understand why when people be like, oh, I could get addicted to the gym. And before, that never made sense to me, because I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. how could you be addicted? But I can understand how you could, because it makes you feel good. Because when you feel good, when you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you look good.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. self-care. People don't mm-hmm. do enough self-care.
They don't. And when, like, women become mothers, they just completely lose themselves. And I hate
to
see it. I don't like to see it. I really don't. Because, like, I just don't feel like you should ever let motherhood completely consume your life. Like, I do not think anybody should do that. Because you have to be your whole self. And if you're not, if you're neglecting yourself, because you're somebody's mom,
right?
Like, then your child is not going to get your whole self.
And not reaping the full benefits, for sure. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think, this is my opinion, y'all. Don't shoot the messenger. I think that mothers get into the notion of, like, oh, I'm a mother, I'm a mother, I'm a mother, I'm a mother. Yes, that is who you are. And motherhood is a part of you, but it's not the whole you. Once you become a mother, it's like, okay, I'm a mother. I got this kid. I'm responsible for everything. And then older people don't make it no better, because then when you talk to them, all you hear about is like, your main focus should be raising your kid. And it's like, yes, that is my focus. That will always be a focus. But let's stop to think about, like, sometimes that is not enough for me to maintain my mental space. Like, okay, I'm a mother, right, and I get up and I take care of my kid, but what else?
Right. No, seriously. And I get pushback sometimes about, like, oh, I'll go play. When I, like, want to just go out by myself and just want to be Victoria, like, I get pushback about it. Like, oh, well, where's he at? Where's your son? And it's like, he's at home with his dad. Like,
okay, duh, like
that's his son too. Like,
period. Definitely his kid too. Going on to the next question. Do you think being your own safe place means doing everything alone, or is it a balance?
No, yeah, I think it's a balance, because I think when you do everything alone, it becomes like isolation, and you don't have to isolate yourself from people. You have to do is just set healthy boundaries with them, you know, and just stand your ground. Like, advocate for yourself. Like, this
period.
This is our life. Like, you know, this is my life.
That is so funny, because that made me think of this quote. It was just like, it pertains to, like, relationships, but I feel like it could pertain to your life as well. And the quote said, like, how you gonna be mad because I don't love you anymore? Like, this is my heart. Like, and exactly that. And you could pertain that to your life. Like, how you gonna be mad? This is what I'm choosing to do with my life. This is my life. Like,
right. Yeah.
Period. Yep. I love that. So what affirmations or reminders help you stay grounded when you're feeling shaky or low?
There's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Period.
That's my biggest one. Yeah. Because it's been true. Like, it's always been true for me. It's always going to happen in life where there's going to be a period where, like, things is not going so smooth. And yeah. I feel like as humans, we should kind of expect it. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I feel like you should expect, like, because everything can't go smooth forever. Like, you gotta expect.
It's not a fairy tale.
Yeah, you gotta expect something. So I just think that when you do expect it, it's good. Like, you'll handle it better because you're a little bit prepared, even though you don't know what it is, but you just know it's gonna be something. So. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be easier for you to, like, handle it. And then while you're in it, just know, like, hey, it's light at the end of that tunnel. Like, once this happens, this is going to be there for you. Like, it's gonna get better. So that's the biggest one for me.
Oh, I keep hearing, like, oh, okay, there's light at the end of this tunnel. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And it's like, okay, I hear you saying it, but how I don't see the light. You know, like, I don't see it. I don't see it in the future. I don't feel like it's coming. So how do you still maintain to keep that notion? Like, okay, this is always like that in the tunnel, even like when you're in it, like in the thick of it.
I think having gratitude, I don't know, like, cause I remember, like a couple years ago after my most biggest breakup of my life, I just was like so sad. I was so sad, and breakups are so hard because you get out of one.
Yeah.
You just feel like you're not worth anything. Like, you feel like you're not worthy of love. So once I started, and then I realized, like, at the end of the day, like, this did happen and it does hurt, but you have to be like, you have to literally express gratitude for every single thing in your life, you, even for the breakup. Like, it's express gratitude. Like, just have, like, say, like, stay positive.
Yeah.
Like, be thankful. Like, just, you know.
So just for having an open mind about it.
Right. Because at that point, after that, everything that you put into the universe is what you get back. And I swear.
Yes,
I believe it too. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. So I just started having gratitude. Like, I was sad and I was bitter about it. But I was also, it also gave me the opportunity to look at life differently and start to pull out positive things, and I was starting to get that back. So even though I think that's why the saying, like, it's always like the end of the tunnel is, you know, essential to remember, because I just think it's true. Like, I don't know, like, you know.
See, like, at the end of the day, just believe it because it's true. Like, and I feel and I feel that, because it's not that I don't believe it. I do believe, like, I know. It's unrealistic to think that, you know, you're going to stay in this space, like, whatever, if it's a hard, especially if it's a hard space and it's something that's emotionally draining to you, it's unrealistic to think that you're going to stay in that space forever. I mean,
unless you're contributing to it, right, unless exactly. you're contributing to it or choosing to stay, because exactly. like, I think that's why it was the way it was, because I literally was choosing, like, I was literally like stabbing my own self in the back by
yes.
like staying.
Yes.
You gotta, you know, get out of it. Like, I think unless you choose to do it, then that's when it's realistic. But
for real, for real. Cause I was just about to say that, like, okay, it's unrealistic thing that you're gonna stay in that spot, but it's also, you gotta make sure that you're putting in the work to get up out that spot as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just stay in it and think like, oh, it's going to be light at the end of the tunnel, when
no.
nothing been showing you that it is going to be there. Like, this person or this situation is showing you, like, it's nothing but turmoil, and you're just mm-hmm. choosing to stay in it. It doesn't have to be in a relationship. It could be what, any situation. It could be living in something. It could be anything. If you choose to stay mm-hmm. in toxicity or a negative thing, it's bound to keep being negative. It's very rare that it come out like, oh, it's still positive and I stay. So yeah. What advice would you give to someone who's starting to realize that they don't feel safe?
Go to therapy.
Period. Yes, mental
just
health.
Just like that. And I know that in the Black community, that is so taboo. I don't
it
know
is.
Why. But
it
yeah,
is.
No, go to therapy. Like, get help. Because unlearn those ways, you know, like, unlearn it. You got to unlearn all of that stuff that you went through.
Period.
You have to unlearn it so
you
it doesn't
do.
Go into your next chapter. Yeah.
Yes, if I could clap, yes, because that was perfect advice. Yes, 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 yes. You have to unlearn whatever you just went through. It's unrealistic to think, again, that you could go into something else and not bring whatever you just been through, especially if you've been in that situation for over a few years.
Yeah, because all people are going to look at you, you're going to be labeled as damaged goods.
For sure.
Damaged goods, yeah.
So, yep. How has becoming your own safe space changed the way you show up in all your relationships? Not just with your man, but like with your sister or your mom or your grandma?
So, it just kind of brought clarity to everything. Like, it made me see a lot of things and a lot of traits and a lot of people for what it is.
Yes.
And it, you know, I can say that, like, I am really happy with everybody that I have in my life. I think that's what it has done. It has given me the ability to see clearly. I can't think of the word.
It's like appreciation.
Yeah, and it's given me, like, I feel empowered to no longer have to seek validation from
Period.
Others anymore. Like, I don't have to look to anybody for validation. I can validate myself. Like,
and do?
Like, say if like if something's happening and you're questioning yourself, and then you get on the phone and mm-hmm. call somebody, like, hey, I don't need to do that anymore. Getting near validation, I can do that for myself.
I love that for you. Because I've known you for a few years now, I would say it's over like 10 years, no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I
so
think
yeah.
It is like 20, yeah.
Yeah, like, so I know Vicky for a while now. To be honest, hearing you say this is so, I love that for you. And I'm so proud of you. Like, you came a long way from when I first met you to who you are now. Like, oh my God, you're stepping into your womanhood and your motherhood and gracefully, and I just love that for you.
Oh my goodness, thank you. And you would know, like, you would know, because you see me, like, during those rough times, like, so you definitely would know, like, because you experienced those times where I was emotional burden to my friends.
Sure, but no, she has grown so much from when I first met her. And mind y'all, I met her when I was in 10th grade. So I'm assuming that's like, what, how old was I? Like,
16.
Yes, okay, yes. I was around that age, like 16. And we're 25, 26 now, y'all. So it's like, to hear that, to go from 16 when I met her and how she was then and to now and hearing her talk now, it's just amazing because all she's doing is elevating into her next version of herself. And I love that for her.
Well, thank you.
All right, y'all. I already know that somebody listening felt every word of this conversation or was in their car like, yes, period, and do. But guess what? Vicky's not done. She will be back for part two where we talk about why I had to grieve the childhood I deserve, which is what the title is called for next episode. And trust me, if you love this episode, you're gonna love next episode. So you might want to tune in. If you're listening right now and this episode hit home, what's your truth? What part of this entry did you feel in your body? Share it in the comments, tag us in your story, or DM the page, because your story matters. No matter what page of healing you're on, you're not alone and you're not behind. Keep going through it, keep growing through it, and keep glowing through it. And I'll see you next episode.
She broke, she bent, but she never disappeared.